huddling up with Upper Cumberland coaches and players.
The York Institute Dragons eliminate Monterey to reach the state semifinals. Clay County routes Gordonsville in their quarterfinal rematch, while basketball season gets underway in the Upper Cumberland.
From UCSportsNation.com, this is the High School Playbook. The Upper Cumberland's place to talk prep sports. Built by Mountain Barn Builders. Quality products, a high level of workmanship. Mountain Barn Builders. Storage buildings, animal shelters, gazebos. Visit Highway 127 between Jamestown and Clark Range.
The TSSAA High School Football Playoffs move into the semifinal round. Good morning from Chick-fil-A on Interstate Drive at Goodville. Tom Duggan for the High School Playbook. A rather abbreviated scoreboard Friday night as only three teams from the Upper Cumberland remained in the playoffs going into the quarterfinal round on Friday night. The Clay County Bulldogs punched their ticket to the Class 1A state semifinals. Clay County gets a big nod from a lot of contributors. In fact, they score on every offensive series except one last night. And for the 11th time in 13 games, Clay County gets a running clock in the second half of the football game. They rout Gordonsville 41-6. Clay County onto the semifinals for the first time since 1985. They were known as Salina High School back 37 years ago. They lost in the semifinal round that year to South Pittsburgh 35-0. Up next for Clay County will be Coalfield. Coalfield at 12-1 beat Oliver Springs last night 56-0. McKenzie and MASE out of West Tennessee are the other two teams in the Final Four in Class 1A. Class 2A on Friday night, York Institute beats Monterey 35-21. Great night for Matthew Montgomery for Monterey High School. 22 carries, 103 yards, and three touchdowns just running the football last night. Logan Pinnell had a big night for York Institute. 10 carries, 180 yards, and four touchdowns. York last made the semifinals back in 2009 where they lost to Milan 43-15. Up next for the Dragons will be Tyner, who knocked off East Robertson last night 35-7. On the west side of the Class 2A bracket, Riverside will take on Huntingdon for the right to play in Chattanooga for the championship. Right now, we're going to talk to Monterey head football coach Scott Hughes, who unfortunately was on the short end of that 35-21 score on Friday night. Coach, a good York Institute team. You'd seen them early in the season. You knew what they were all about. How tough a game was it going in for your football team, and what made the biggest difference, you think, in the game last night?
Well, we knew they were very talented, a lot of athletes across the board, and have a great scheme. You know, Coach Wright does a phenomenal job, and he's got those guys believing, and they're really physical at every position, and that's a hat to, that my hat's off to those young men and to those coaches. You know, we had talked about it all week after the first time we played them. We've got to limit big plays, and at times throughout the year that had kind of been our kryptonite. We've gave up, you know, explosive plays, and last night was no different. You know, York hit us on probably, I know, three or four, you know, huge game plays that were touchdowns, and I really felt that was the difference because we were giving up touchdowns in one or two plays instead of making them drive and really have to grind. And on the flip side of that, we didn't have many explosive plays last night. Everything that we had was going to have to be a three-yard, four-yard gain and try to sustain drives, and that's really difficult to do.
Logan Pinnell, you mentioned breaking off some big plays. The running back had a 56-yard touchdown and a 65-yard touchdown. They looked similar. What happened on those two plays that freed him up? He seemed to find a seam and hit a second gear. It was just on go from that point.
It was, you know, and we had talked about it again, making them stay lateral and not getting vertical on us, and he found a vertical crease, and we were not in the right spots. And, you know, those things happen. End of the night, we didn't play well enough to win, and York outplayed us, and hats off to those guys, but you know, hats off to our guys. They battled. You know, we just didn't make enough plays. It was one of those things that, you know, when you're in the quarterfinals, you got to make plays, and last night they just made a few more than we did.
Mason Bowman goes down in the second quarter with an injury. Looked like a lower leg. I'll let you kind of expand on that, what happened with him. And did he have any thoughts, or did y'all have any thoughts of him maybe even trying to give it a go in the second half?
Mason got rolled up. I was right in front of it when it happened. And, lower leg, ankle, it was pretty good injury. And Mason's a guy that he wanted to go back in, but we after testing it, I just didn't feel comfortable putting him at risk. And he's a young man that took it hard. And he wanted to play, but he was going to be at risk if we did put him back in at that point in time. And we felt comfortable with what we had with Matthew and Michael Allred and Cole Bowman and Eli Saylors and those guys. It was one of those things we've always said, at the end of the day, it's about taking care of young men. It's about developing young men of high character, and we're never going to put a young man at risk.
Coach, your team, it seemed like you gave them a lift after Mason left the field and they come back out. There seemed to be a little bit more fire there. Did you sense that, especially with Matthew Montgomery? It almost felt like he took it personal, and he was really trying to make a lot of things happen there.
Well, there's nobody ever going to doubt that Matthew Montgomery wanted to win. He's a guy that, when you look back over his high school career, the growth that he had as a player just – off the charts. And it was one of those things. We knew that as long as he had the football, we had a shot. Right. And he's a guy that I would take every day of the week, not only as a football player but as a young man. He's a special young man that has been a blessing to our program, and for me, a blessing to coach.
35-21, York Institute gets a late touchdown to make it a two-touchdown margin. It was a one-score game most of the night. Coach, it was 20-7 at one point. Your team rallies with two unanswered touchdowns there. Kind of compare the mindsets there when you're down 14 or down 13 at one point to the point that you come back and grab the lead. Did the team get down to any certain point, or was it that motivation to come back and claw their way back into the game?
Well, I felt that our guys never wavered. We talk about adversity all the time. I mean, that's a word that gets used probably every day in our program. And we always kind of use the phrase, it, as ironic as it is, okay, how are you going to handle it if you're up 14? How are you going to handle it if you're down 14? Unfortunately for us, last night we were down 14 at one point, or 13, and I never saw a look on our guys' face of worry or concern. It was really a focused look on how to fix it and how to get back in it, and our guys done that. And we just didn't make enough plays down the stretch. It was something that I felt we had a couple opportunities. We were in good spots, and we just didn't make the play. And that's sports. That's athletics in general. It doesn't matter, what sport you play. As long as you're giving a great effort, that's what we've always told our guys. As long as you give your best effort, the end of the night, we will be okay. And last night was one of those nights where I never questioned our effort from anybody.
Every team is going to go home at one with a loss at the end of the football season, basically. And your team finishes 10-3, quarterfinal run. I know it's hard the day after a loss, maybe, to put a lot into perspective, but Coach, when do you reflect back on this season? How do you think you're going to look at it overall?
Oh, it was a phenomenal year. We were talking last night. If you would have told us in August and you would have said, hey, we can guarantee that you'll be 10-3 and be in the quarterfinals, I would have probably looked at them a little bit crazy. we've played so many sophomores this year. A few juniors that were, really first-year starters or maybe even first-year high school football players. And to see the growth of our football team from July and August to be in the quarterfinals is a special run, second farthest run in our school's history. And that's a hat off to all the young men in our program, from Matthew and Eli and Michael and James and Mason and all the seniors on down to our freshman class that got to hopefully learn how to be a good teammate and how to be a good athlete and how to prep each week. It was a special year. We ended up winning 8 games in a row, 2 playoff wins. Went on the road and beat Hampton, who was the defending state runner up and number 3 in the state at the time. And a lot of significantly more positive memories than negative.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Coach, what are you going to miss most about your senior class, an outstanding group of student athletes?
You know, the funny thing when I answer this is everybody, you know, probably is sitting here thinking, well, you know, you got a Mr. Football semifinalist. You got a quarterback that, you know, has almost 2,000 yards of total offense and over 100 tackles. But the thing to me personally that I will miss most about this senior class is the relationships. Just phenomenal young men that I truly enjoy having conversation with. And the conversation's not always football.
Right.
It's more than that. Just to get to spend so much time with those guys and get to see them grow. For some of them, I've had since they were in eighth grade. You know, with us being a 7th through 12th school, I brought several of those guys up when they were in eighth grade. So, I've seen the growth from being a middle school, you know, student athlete into being a senior that's fixing to walk across the stage in a few months. I hope that in some way that I've been a positive or they'll take something away from what we've done. But that'll be the piece to me that I will miss the most is just the day-to-day interaction with these guys. You know, obviously I still have them for a few months in the school building.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, once they leave, the football piece you always miss, it's the relationship part that I hope that we can sustain and maintain over the course of the years. I, you know, still have a good relationship with so many, and that's a big key to me, and that's what I always hope to develop over the years of coaching these young men.
It's been a great year for Monterey, 10-3, and again a loss in the quarterfinals, but still fantastic season and some great careers for the seniors that will be moving on from Monterey. Coach Scott Hughes has joined us on the High School Playbook. Coach, congratulations on a great year.
Thank you very much. Appreciate all you guys do. Not only for Monterey football and for Monterey athletics in general, but for all you do for the Upper Cumberland, it's awesome the time that you guys pour into it, and it's very much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Coach. Coach Scott Hughes joining us in the High School Playbook. When we come back, we'll talk some Clay County football with Coach Bruce Lamb. This is the High School Playbook presented by Mountain Barn Builders.
No one covers your favorite high school team like we do. This is the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders.
Clay County Bulldogs are on to the semifinal round of the Class 1A state playoffs. Clay County with a 41-6 dominating victory over their region rival Gordonsville on Friday night. Coach Bruce Lamb joining us on the High School Playbook. Coach, what a win for your ball club last night. 35 points over Gordonsville. Did you expect that kind of domination from your team?
Not at all. Never in my mind did it enter that. But, you know, Coach Jackson and his staff does such a great job, and they got a really good football team, and you know, never in my wildest imagination did I ever think that we could do what we did last night. But you know, the kids came out focused, ready to play, and you know, they just feed off each other, and you know, the maturity of these seniors and watching them do what they do is just amazing.
What was maybe the biggest difference you saw in the team last night as opposed to when you played Gordonsville in week 11?
Well, you know, we went back and we watched our films and just watched the things that we did wrong against them in the last game of the season. And you know, we corrected those. And I think it showed off last night. And we knew what we had to do. We knew what we were going against. And you know, I thought the offensive line probably played the best game they've played all year and did a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage. And I think that helped more than anything.
You mentioned offensive line. Those guys never get enough love. And I know running backs, quarterbacks, they're always the one getting in the newspapers and all of that. But talk about your offensive line's development, if you would, Coach, and just how much they have been such a contributing factor to an elite offense this year.
Well, you know, first year it was tough first year. You know, we diddidn't know what we'd have, and got some good seniors up there, and they did a great job. Levi Garrett and Stone Lynn, our center, you know, they did a great job. And, you know, John Hamilton, our tight end, you know, he's played tackle his entire life. And we moved him to tight end, and he's just a weapon over there, blocking or going out receiving. So those guys, then Hunter McGee and Wyatt Browning, who came out this year, first year he's played, and since he was little bitty, and Hunter Kyle, Parker Smith, those guys have just done a super, super job and got better each week. And they believe in what we're doing. You know, last night at halftime, you know, they were coming to me and telling me what we could run. They said, Coach, this is there. And that's maturity and how much they believe in the system and how far they've come along.
Coach, in addition to your offensive line, who were some of the standout performers in Friday night's win?
Well, you know, I can just name them all. I mean, you know, the first thing you think of, you know, is our defense, which played a great game last night. And, you know, we had some people step up defensively. Nate Adams got another pick last night. Alec Kerr was playing downhill and tackling everybody. And, you know, Levi and Ricardo McElroy did a great job at the nose guard. And Worm Smith, who's come on lately and played really well, and Jimmy Burchett and those guys did a great job covering everybody. And offensively, you know, the offensive line, you know, like I said, just did a great job in the first play of our offensive series of the game. Joseph Markham goes 81 yards for a touchdown, just broke two, three tackles. And, you know, just a great, great overall performance. And, you know, then Keaton got in, Keaton Arms, our quarterback, scored two or three touchdowns. I don't even know how many he got, but, you know, it was just an all-around performance. Every one of them stepped up and played great.
The Clay County Bulldogs route Gordonsville 41-6 in the Class 1A quarterfinals on Friday night. We're talking to Clay County head football coach Bruce Lamb on the High School Playbook presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, first time since 1985 that a Clay County program has made it this far in the playoffs. Are the players aware of that, and does that history mean anything to them?
Absolutely. Tradition is a big thing in Clay County, and whether it's the Salina Bulldogs or the Clay County Bulldogs, you know, it's all the same. And it's a fraternity, it's a family. And, you know, once again, last night we come out and all former players are lined up as we walk to the field and cheering these guys on and as we walk through them. And what a great thing that is to know that these, all these guys, these dads and uncles and cousins and brothers are, you know, that are, related to these young men are there supporting those guys. And it's just a great thing. And I played ball with one of those guys in 85 when I played at Tennessee Tech with Jimmy Crankhole. And let me tell you something, that's one of the toughest men I've ever been around my entire life. You know, and I think we're following that tradition right now.
That is fantastic. I always love when the president embraces the history of the program. That's just great to hear. Coach, next up is Coalfield. They're 12-1, and a lot of people are going to do this. You know they are. They're going to look and say, well, Gordonsville will beat Coalfield, and then you beat Gordonsville twice. But it don't quite work that way, does it, when you get this deep in the playoffs?
Absolutely not. You know, that's not the same team that played Gordonsville in the middle of the year. And they're a lot better than what they were. You know, I'm sure they did the same thing. They looked at where they were deficient at and came back and got better and worked on those and fix those deficiencies. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they're in the semifinals for a reason, and they're not going to come to Clay County and lay down. They're going to come to win a football game. So we got to be prepared for everything.
Absolutely. Coalfield, a 56-0 winner in their quarterfinal round game over Oliver Springs on the west side of the bracket. It's McKenzie and MASC. So, you know, when you get to this far, even once you've gotten to the quarterfinal round, Coach, it's tough, and you've got to go out and you've got to be focused. And it seems like your team has got that focus and that mentality. They want more.
I think so. The confidence level right now is great. And, you know, we talked about this and first practice of the year, you know, playing 15 games. And you know, right now we're at 13. We know we got two more weeks, but we're going to take one game at a time. And that's part of the maturity level of these kids. And, you know, we'll just do what we got to do this week and see if we can get it done. And, you know, hopefully we'll be taking a ride to Chattanooga next week.
Absolutely, Coach. The Upper Cumberland's behind the Clay County Bulldogs. We're pulling for you and go to get that win against Coalfield and head down to Chattanooga. Bring home some hardware. Coach Bruce Lamb has been our guest on the High School Playbook, head coach of the Clay County Bulldogs. Coach, best of luck moving forward.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
With football season winding down across the Upper Cumberland, we'll start shifting gears a bit today and taking a look at high school basketball, which is getting underway throughout the region. Pickett County girls basketball coach Brent Smith joining us on the High School Playbook presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach Smith, you had a pretty young team last year. That was something that was the theme throughout the course of the season. But a young team that maybe defied some expectations. You end up winning 19 games, a very competitive season, good run in the postseason. How excited are you to have all those young players back who gained a lot of experience last season?
Quite a bit. We actually had one senior off of last year's team. And, of course, we are we added four freshmen to this year's roster. And as you can tell, very young. And no seniors again this year. So we're basically freshmen and sophomores with a couple of juniors.
That senior that you lost last year, Shayla Wood, what are some things that Shayla brought to the court? I'm sure leadership being one of them, especially for such a young team. But some of the things that she did that you're going to have to replace this year.
Well, just her intensity level, her speed of the game. She rebounded really well and attacked the basket really well. You know, she was our, as you said, leader, you know, not necessarily a vocal leader, but, you know, she led by example, and that's the kind of things, her toughness and, you know, her care. So, that's something we're still kind of looking for. You know, with the young team, you know, everybody's kind of looking over their shoulder who's going to lead, and that's kind of a problem that we're trying to deal with right now. And hopefully, you know, as the year wears on, that you know, someone comes to the forefront, hopefully.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you about. When you don't have any seniors, and I know you have three juniors on the team, but you're talking about kids that stepped up from a sophomore level to the junior level this year. Is the onus kind of on that junior group? Do you feel like that may have to step up and be those leaders on the court and in the locker room?
Well, you know, I think it can happen. It can happen from even sophomores. You know, I got a lot of time last year. You know, I think that it's a possibility. You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be your, you know, let's say your high scorer, your best player. It can be don't have to be the leader. It's just someone that's willing to take it on their shoulders and deflect any type of situation or adjust any situation that you might have or address it. So, or just to speak up when there's a situation that you feel like, hey, coach, what about this? You know, that's what we're kind of looking for, or just something like of that nature that they ain't scared to speak up. And we've got a couple of those I think will come from.
Coach, how surprised were you with the team's performance last year, being that it was such a young basketball team, to have the kind of season that you did? Were you rather surprised by that?
Well, in some ways, yes. Yeah. With our talent level, no. But with the non-experienced level, yes. But, I think it's kind of the same situation this year. You know, we're in our league, which is tough every night. Our schedule's really tough this year. So, the years past when I've had some really good teams, we felt like our schedule didn't meet what we needed. And this year, it's a tough schedule. So, I think that'll help us to mature quicker with a tougher schedule. And obviously, starting with a really senior-laden Cumberland County team and a good team on our first night out. You know, it tells you how tough what we're trying to do here.
Pickett County Lady Bobcats basketball coach Brent Smith joining us on the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, what about your team do you like so far, and what are some of the areas that you feel like the team still needs some work in?
Well, you know, we've kind of worked all preseason and summer, turned our intensity levels back up to, you know, scoring more points and pressing more and getting up and down the floor. So that's what we're having to work on. You know, we obviously couldn't do that on Tuesday night because we were down one of our better players. We're down on had a knee injury over the weekend and couldn't play on Tuesday. So that took away some scoring from us. So didn't really look like what we were trying to do was the same. So, and when you're playing a team that's like Cumberland County, you can't really press them as much, and you can't, you know, you're probably trying to keep the score down as much as you're trying to keep it up. But I think from here on, for a while, we can really work on our intensity level and speed the game up like we like to play and fast and score some points. So that's what I'm just anxious to see how that goes. But we got some toughness that we haven't had in the past. We've got some freshmen that's really going to help us. And as the year wears, I believe they're going to continue to get better. And as long with, you know, when you got sophomores and juniors that hadn't played a whole lot too. So, you know, we're kind of, we don't really know what we can do. I think that's what I'm excited about. I think, obviously you don't want to throw away a year, but I think this year can be really nice. But, you know, the years to come are really going to be fun around here, I think.
Coach, you turn around, you got Van Buren County, another team that's pretty darn tough in girls basketball. You play them Saturday night. What would you like to see from your team, and what do you expect in that matchup with Van Buren?
Well, you know, anytime you go to Van Buren, it's a tough place to play. It's really loud. You know, communication is going to be a problem. During the regular, you know, this Hall of Fame Classic, you're still going to be, communication will be a problem. I can see how we go in that environment and come out and how we adjust them. You know, how we took Tuesday night, if we're mad about that or we just accept it and go on. So that's what I'm excited about. You know, they've got a good team. You know, they had a state tournament last year and got the core back, you know, and they'll be tough. So, you know, they've got a kid down to injury too. So, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for us. It'll be a good test, Class A test for us. So we'll kind of see where we're at, because that could also be a, you know, if we're lucky enough to get out of the region here, that'd be a sub-state team we could, you know, or a place you could go play, or a team you could play in the sub-state. So that'll be interesting for us. So I think it'll be a great task for us.
Good early season schedule, that game with Van Buren. Of course, you played Cumberland. You got Scott, Jellicoe, Smith County, and Livingston all before the month of November wears out. Coach, that'll help prepare you for what was really a very good, tough, competitive district last year, and likely will be again this year with Clay, Gordonsville, Red Boiling Springs, and Clark Range. Do you think it's going to be as tough top to bottom as you saw it, or maybe even more so this year?
Absolutely. I can tell you right now, you can put all four of those top four and shake, put them in a bag and shake them and see what comes out. It you don't know. I mean, any of the four could win it very easily. Could win the district. And you know, I don't know. Every night you'll play, and you know, Gordonsville put up cut out Clark Range first round last year. So you know, it's just there's a lot of tough situations that we're going to have, and you know, a lot of those guys again are senior. They got a lot of senior leadership on their teams, and so that'll be a test for us as well. So you know, it depends on how you come out of this. You know, we got to get healthy. We got a couple of kids that are beat up a little bit and already. So maybe we can get healthy, and I think we can make a great run.
I think it's going to be a great season for Pickett County, a great season in the district, a lot of competitive basketball. And if you get a chance tonight, head down to Van Buren County to see Pickett County play 6 o'clock tonight. Coach Brent Smith has been our guest on the High School Playbook. Coach, thanks for joining us, and best of luck throughout the season.
Yes, sir. Thank you again.
Where the coaches hold their pre- and post-game meetings. The Mountain Barn Builders High School Playbook.
The York Institute Dragons are on their way to the state semifinals for the first time since the 2009 season. Logan Pinnell ran for 180 yards on just 10 carries, scored 4 touchdowns. York Institute knocks off Monterey 35-21. Friday night in Jamestown. York Institute head football coach Derwin Wright joins the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, first, right out of the gate, how good does it feel to be headed to the semifinals?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm so proud for our community and our kids. It's been a complete turnaround. Just couldn't be any more excited.
Coach, your team, the last few times I've seen you, it's like you come out and you're laser-focused, and last night seemed to be the case. Even during warm-ups, the team looked loose. They looked confident. Was that somewhat the case? Were they just ready to go and play that game last night?
Hey, this team, you know, we go over and watch film, and then we walk back over, and about 5 o'clock, you know, they're in there, they're playing music, they're dancing, they're just, and you know, we're talking to them. We go in to talk to them about the game. I'm like, well, it's apparent you guys are really tight. So that's the kind of team they are. They're pretty loose most of the time. They're focused, but you know, lately they've been that way. And then when they step on the field, they're focused and they get after it.
In a game like this, every drive matters, and certainly did last night. And I want to come out of the gate. Monterey got the ball to start the game, and I think they had about a 10-play drive, and they drive down into your territory, but your defense is able to turn them away. Coach, what was the feeling coming out of that first drive, knowing they'd really threatened you there, but your defense was able to hold strong?
Well, we had them third and long, and they threw a screen, and defensive end, a little overzealous, gets a late hit on the quarterback, personal foul, automatic first down. So, you know, at that point, we knew that, you know, the first three plays they had went backwards, and we gave them the first with our mistake. And so, you know, that always puts you behind the eight ball. You got to win third downs.
So then they continued the drive, and when we stopped them, you know, it's one of those things, you know, telling our defense, hey, you guys, you see what you can do now. Let's take the mistakes and the penalty out. Let's just play ball.
You're down 21-20 at one point after leading 20-7 during the second quarter of the football game. Monterey's able to rally, but you still have 10.5 minutes on the clock there in the fourth quarter, down only a point. What's the mood on the sideline, and what's kind of going through your head at that point?
Well, it's just like, you know, we talked about, you know, it's kind of like a heavyweight fight. There's going to be, you know, we threw the first couple punches, and then they came back, threw punches, and, you know, and then we overcome a fourth down, and Miles Lefeu and Bryson Bilbrey connected on just a heck of a play to keep a drive alive and for us to go in and take the lead. But, you know, they honestly, you know, in the third quarter, I think our guys kind of panicked a little bit. And then we threw those hands up fourth quarter. And, you know, I said, hey, this is, you know, this quarter is going to determine whether you go back and make history of where we've been or not. So let's just play ball. I focused in and, I won't brag on one of our running backs, Logan Pinnell, had 180 yards, you know, last night. Just did an outstanding job.
Absolutely. That was the next thing I wanted to talk about as we speak with Derwin Wright, the head coach of the York Institute Dragons, here on the High School Playbook. Yeah, 10 carries, 180 yards, 4 touchdowns. Coach, that's a pretty good day at the office.
You doggone right. That's his breakout game. And he's not a big guy. He's shifty. He does a great job using his blockers. And for a guy his size, he seldom does his first guy take him down. And I just can't brag enough about how he ran. And then the blocking that we got downfield that he used, it is, like I said, it's a breakout game for him.
56-yard touchdown, a 65-yard touchdown, and then a 16-yard touchdown late. And I was looking for the note on the other one. I believe it was a shorter yardage touchdown. But looked to me like when Pinnell, when he found a seam, coach, he's got a second gear and shows off some pretty elite speed when he's able to hit that seam.
Yeah, he does. Like I said, he's got great vision. He gets up in there and in the hole. It's like he'll disappear, and then boom, here he comes popping out of it, and you're like, wow, where'd he come from?
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, you're getting ready for the semifinal round. First time York Institute's been to the semifinals since back in 2009. You head down to Chattanooga to take on a talented Tyner team, and I'm sure you've not begun the full-fledged scouting as of yet, but what do you know of Tyner right now?
Well, I always know Tyner's going to be a team with a lot of speed. And, you know, it's a game. Our offense is a ball control offense, so it fits that. But, you know, we're just going to have to really do an awesome job on defense and in the kicking game. Because, you know, we've got a couple guys, anytime they can touch it, they can take it all the way. And you know, I know they're going to have those guys. We played first round there in 2006. I was coach We were obviously not picked to win the game, and went down there and beat them 15-8. And it was that kind of game. Our time of possession was like 3-1 for us, but you know, that's a hard thing to do. But I know they're just going to have a lot of speed on the edges. And so we're going to have to be solid.
Coach, you're going to go down there with a 9-4 record. People are going to probably be picking Tyner to win that game. With the 4 losses,
Absolutely. Even,
this team seems like it's just persevered and overcome every obstacle. And what is that element that just helps this team be able to do that?
Well, you know, one of the things is the whole, you know, attitude had to change. We went in, when I went in February in the weight room, I think a lot of kids were sitting on the fence whether they really wanted to continue to play football or not. We spent a lot of time working out, but we also, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to build relationships and getting to know boys and just, you know, finding out what their interest was. And it was just, you know, that was a big part. And then they bought in. They really, you know, they bought into what we were doing. Even when we were running the wing tee out of the spread and shotgun, they loved it. And then when we went back into more traditionally what I'd done in the wing tee, I mean, they bought in there too. And of course, most of these kids had run that in middle school. So it's just been a joy to watch them grow.
Absolutely. And they're on the way to the state semifinals. York Institute Dragons victorious over Monterey 35-21 on Friday night. Coach Derwin Wright of the York Institute Dragons joining us on the High School Playbook. Coach, congratulations to this team. We're wishing you all the best. Headed down to Chattanooga. Hopefully go down there and spend a couple weeks in Chattanooga, get the big win next week, and come back and go for that gold ball.
Well, that's what we're hoping. We know it's going to be a tough road. Hey, one kid I want to mention last night, we have freshman linebacker, number 34, Blake Bulls, hit 13 tackles last night.
Wow.
He had a outstanding game, and he's a freshman. He's not the biggest guy, but, boy, he's got a nose for football.
Absolutely. Called that name, I know, quite a bit during our broadcast last night. He was in on a whole lot of plays last night. Just a freshman, so he's got a really bright future ahead of him. Coach Wright, once again, congratulations. Thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you.
This is the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, covering high school sports from Jamestown to McMinnville.
Shifting gears back to basketball. The Clay County Bulldogs are getting there. Season underway. Back one game for the Bulldogs. They lost their opener to Livingston Academy 62-41, despite the fact several players on the Clay County basketball roster still part of the Clay County football team. Head coach Rob Edwards joins the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, how excited are you and your team to get started this season?
Oh, we're excited. You know, of course, we're still in the football playoffs, and I've got a large part of my roster still on the football field. But, you know, the six guys that I have, we're pretty excited.
Absolutely. Let me get back to that for just a moment, because a lot of teams have that problem this time of year. I won't call it a problem, but you are missing some players on your roster that are part of the football team. Getting those players back, how long does it typically take them to kind of get up to game speed in basketball?
Well, I'll be honest with you, this is the deepest playoff run that our football team has made in 23 years since I've been here. Typically, you know, we'll go a couple rounds deep, so I would have already had those guys. But it's usually 2 to 3 weeks to get into what we call basketball shape and to adjust to the difference in physicality. You know, we still want to be physical, but there's a difference, a different level of it between football and basketball, obviously.
Coach, 24-7, your record last year, getting to the state semifinals. It was a fantastic year. And how do you look to follow that up? Do you feel like this team's got a lot of motivation to get back to Murfreesboro this year?
Well, I think so. I think we should. If we don't, at this point, you know, we lost Grant Strong, Jeff Spivey, Eli Smith, some guys that meant a whole lot to the season last year and to the program overall in their careers. And for these guys coming back, they've always kind of played in the shadow of those guys, to be honest with you. And so now it's their opportunity to show what they can do on the basketball court. And, you know, we're looking forward to getting those guys out there and figuring out lineups and things that we have to do every year, you know. So we're looking forward to it.
A lot of fans, basketball fans across the Upper Cumberland, they'll know the name Grant Strong for sure, and even fans across the state. But you mentioned Jeff Spivey and Eli Smith, and they brought a lot of intangibles to the court as well. Coach, what are the areas that are really going to have to be filled by the voids of the three losses of a year ago?
Well, pretty much scoring is where we're going to have to fill that in. I don't have one guy that's going to give us 33, 34 points a night, you know, and I have a lot of guys that can score 12 or 14 a night. So I think it makes us a little bit more difficult to prepare for, a little bit harder to guard. So I think in a way that's an advantage. But again, these guys are going to have to adjust to the fact that they can't rely on somebody else to score. Now we've got to, they're the guys. They're the man. They've got to get the job done.
We're previewing the Clay County Bulldog basketball season with Clay County head basketball coach Rob Edwards on the High School Playbook, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, you've got five seniors on this year's team, and John Hamilton, Jimmy Burchett, Keaton Arms, Bryce Bailey, Alec Kerr. Some of those I know are still playing football, but what do you expect and what do you like out of the senior group?
I like the fact that they've all played together their entire lives. They know one another really well. They're good friends on and off the court. They have a lot of good chemistry together. And I think it's just a matter of those guys getting on the court and beginning to gel once they get out of football. Take a little time, obviously, but once they get into a rhythm, I think they're gonna have a really good basketball season.
Who are some of the players that during the offseason have really put in a lot of work and you've seen some great improvement in?
All those guys, they all worked in the spring. They all picked up on an AAU team or played a few little games and got in the gym and shot some. And then, of course, over the summer, worked pretty hard. And then, of course, once camp's over, like I said, the majority of those guys, 12 off my roster, play football. So once the dead period's over, they're football guys, and I don't touch them until football season's over. So, but the guys that they're not playing football, Bryce is the only senior out of that group that's not playing football, and he's put in a lot of time, worked on his own some stuff, and gotten a lot better, and looking forward to seeing what he's capable of doing his senior year.
Coach Edwards, you had a game against Livingston Academy this past Tuesday night, a 62-41 loss, and probably hard to tell a whole lot about your basketball team, but what were some positives that you gleaned from that game against the Wildcats to open your season?
Well, like I said, Bryce, the only senior, he'll be a starter when the football guys get back. The other four guys that started that game, some of them are going to play a role. So I think it was really good for those guys to get the opportunity to play what amounted to an entire game, because there's only six of them. So it wasn't like we had a big, deep rotation or anything. So they got a lot of minutes against a good, fast, hard-playing Livingston Academy team. And I think we learned some things. I think those young guys learned kind of the speed of the game. We've had a hard time practicing, to be honest with you. We've been practicing with the girls some, just so we would have some bodies out there to go against. So to get on the floor with another varsity team and play against their best against our best is really good for those kids.
The Clay County Bulldogs, the defending District 7 1A champions from a year ago. Coach, you got the target on your back being the defending champs in a pretty good district, Pickett County, Gordonsville, Red Boiling Springs, Clark Range. Top to bottom, what do you expect from the district this year?
Well, I District 7 or District 6, whatever, TWSAA wants to number it from year to year. Always competitive. You can't overlook anybody. A lot of good coaches in District 7 right now. You gotta have a game plan going in every night, and you gotta put in your time and be prepared. And kids have to be mentally prepared. They can't walk in anywhere and just think we're gonna throw the. They see the other team sees the Clay County jersey and they're just gonna surrender. It doesn't happen that way. So we gotta be ready with game plans. We gotta be ready mentally as well each and every night.
Absolutely. Now, Clay County will be back on the court on Monday night as Jellicoe comes to town, then a Friday night game with Jackson County. So getting basketball in the full swing. And, of course, Coach, it may be a little while before you get your entire team back as well as the football team has been playing. But I know it's going to be another exciting season for the Clay County Bulldogs. Coach Rob Edwards, thank you for a few minutes of your time to join us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Bobcats to Tigers. They all get along here. Talking prep sports. The High School Playbook. Presented by Mountain Barn Builders.
Basketball coverage today as we travel up to Jamestown to talk a little York Institute Dragons basketball. Dragons head coach Rodney Pyle joining us on the High School Playbook. Presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, are you still missing several of your players from the football team?
Yeah, we've got two starters, and we've got one of our subs that played a lot of minutes this summer for us. They're still with the Dragon football team, and we're wishing them well, and we hope they win it all. But we're without them, and so we've got we still got 11 guys with us right now, and so we're just, you know, we're doing the best we can, and we got a good bunch of guys still with us, and so we just kind of got a little bit outmanned over at Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge got a nice ball club. They've got a big school. A lot of students to choose from, a big 4A school, and we just, you know, just a little bit short handed that night, and hopefully we're getting these guys better and building some, you know, getting some guys that will be able to come off the bench and give us some valuable minutes, and just trying to keep it together until we get these football guys back.
Coach, I know you had some losses from last year's team, some key players that won't be coming back, obviously, due to graduation. Who did you lose from last year, and what voids do you have to fill with those losses?
Well, we had Nick Smith and John Eddings, and I can't say enough about them. They were two great seniors, super seniors. They did everything for us. They defended. They scored the ball. They were great team leaders. Yes, sir. No, sir. Good attitudes. And so they're basically impossible to replace. And so, we've got some good guys coming up. We've got a freshman that's in the on the football, that sub that I was talking about that played a lot of good minutes, Will Beatty. We're expecting him to have a good year this year, and we got some other guys. Of course, we played seven last year, and of course we lost those two seniors, so we got five of those guys back, and all with some great experience. We've got one lone senior, Blaine York, and you know, Blaine York had a real solid year last year for us. We're looking for him to have a better year this year. And, you know, he's the one hit the big shot in the region championship against Jackson County to give us that win. So, and then we got several juniors. But some of the guys that's come back, of course, Bryson Bilbrey and Miles Lefew, they're still playing football, and so we don't have them in the gym yet, but they're juniors. And then, of course, we got Zach Bird and Jackson Canancer and Andrew Hall that's with us right now and working hard and playing hard and getting better. And we've got Heath Wattenberger that played the last 2 years at Piggy County. He's moved up here and transferred up here to play, and so we're looking for big things out of him. So we got a lot of juniors on the team. Don't have any sophomores on the team. Got a big freshman class as well. That's right now, since some of those guys are in football, some of these freshmen, Brody Schoat and Cody Bird and Carter Gibson are being thrown in there a little bit. But we've got a good nucleus of team. We just got to make sure we are getting better each and every game. It's still early, and hopefully we're getting better, and we'll see what we can do at the end of the year.
York Institute boys basketball coach Rodney Pyle joining us on the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, your team goes 26-8 last year. You win the district, win the district tournament, win the region tournament, and get to the state quarterfinals, lost a heartbreaker in double overtime to Milan. How much does that experience from a year ago, that championship pedigree experience and that run to the state tournament, how much does that help motivate the team? But even more than that, just put the reality in this team that they can go that far, they can accomplish what the team a year ago accomplished.
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, of course, Coach Taze started this build several years ago, and you know, his last year during that COVID year when they didn't get to, they were actually supposed to play at the state tournament. COVID knocked them out of it, so that was that year. The next year, Roy Whited was the head coach here. I was his assistant. Did a great job, and we got beat in a sub-state game at home. And then last year, we was able to have a lot of accomplishments, and we won the region again, and then we hosted a first round. You know, the region, the sub-state game here, and then we went to Milan, went to the state tournament and played Milan, got beaten double overtime. So the foundation is real solid right now. We just got to make sure that we continue to build on that and keep getting it better. And of course, we've had a great run of really good athletes, and hopefully that will continue. And let me correct you on one thing. We didn't win the district tournament, but we were trying very hard, but Jackson County got us that night. But we did win the district regular season, won the region championship, won our sub-state game at home, and Milan knocked us out. And unfortunately, during that Milan game, a couple of days before that, Nick Smith turned his ankle. And so Nick Smith was you know, him and John Headings were our two studs and our two really good players. And so Nick was limited. He played the whole game, I believe, against Milan, even in both overtimes, but he was a little limited. Wasn't quite his explosive self that he had been during the regular season, and it hurt us. So yeah, we'd love to have that game back and have a full strength Nick Smith, and we'd take our chances any day with that.
Absolutely. Coach, you're looking at a pretty tough district. You mentioned Jackson County. Look for them to be back, I'm sure. And, of course, York is going to have a target on their back this year. Monterey coming back, Bledsoe County, Sequatchie County. When you see the district this year, what do you see from it top to bottom?
Yeah, I see a very solid district again. You know, we don't know much about Sequatchie County. They had a lot of seniors last year, so they lost quite a few. Of course, everybody's going to lose some seniors. Bledsoe lost a few, but they've got a good nucleus of their guys back. Jackson County is that team that is probably right now we're looking at being the most dangerous in our district. They got quite a few back. I know they lost Cuevas, but they've got some really solid players coming back for them. Monterey, they lost some good seniors as well. I think they've got the Monette kid that transferred from them from Jackson County, so that's going to give them some outside shooting and, you know, really big physical guard. So, you know, our district top to bottom is going to be solid again, and we just got to make sure we're ready to play each and every night and get better.
Always a lot of fun to check out the York Institute Dragons. In fact, they'll be in action Saturday evening, 5:45 against Columbia Academy. Head coach Rodney Pyle joining us on the High School Playbook. Coach, thanks for the time today. Good luck throughout the course of the basketball season.
Hey, thanks a lot. Go Dragons.
Special thanks to our guests today, Monterey head football coach Scott Hughes, Clay County head football coach Bruce Lamb, Pickett County girls basketball coach Brent Smith, York Institute football coach Derwood Wright, Clay County boys head basketball coach Rob Edwards, York Institute Dragons basketball coach Rodney Pyle. Our studio producers are Jake Wallman and Gavin Gonsi. Our onside producer is Elizabeth Fortune. And for this week's edition of the High School Playbook, I'm Tom Duggan.
The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, constructing storage buildings of all sizes for your backyard. The perfect shed, added storage from Mountain Barn Builders. Online at mountainbarnbuilders.com. Or see your building up close. Highway 127. Get the scouting report on all the week's prep action. Online now. UCSportsNation.com.
Rock 93.7. WBXE, Baxter, Cookeville. Where the coaches are ready to talk Big Orange football.
Powered by Tommy's Motorsports.
College football. Tennessee football. The weekly coaches meeting starts now. This is Coach to Coach.
The Volunteers got their run game started in the second half, slowing Missouri's defensive front. And they found some answers to slow the Tigers' running quarterback. Turned into a blowout as Tennessee finishes undefeated at home.
Key defensively was they went away from blitz.